Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Marshall, and for those that are listening on the internet, today we're going to be talking about the unknown army. Now, this week, we've witnessed a military takeover of a sovereign country. We've seen an army that had no identifying marks come in and take over land of a sovereign country. The vehicles had no marks also. When I say no markings, that means that there were no insignias to say what country they were from, no ranks, no name, nothing on these vehicles. Now, this mystery military arrived in Ukraine in military trucks with Russian license plates. Russian leader Vladimir Putin says that there are no Russian troops in the Ukraine. Soldiers even cover their faces with masks and bandanas. In Isaiah 22:7-8, your choicest valleys are full of chariots, and horsemen are posted at the city gates. The defenses of Judah are being stripped away. How can you fight an army who can't be identified? To whom could you turn to for help and safety? How would you know where their allegiance is? Cannot the same person hide in plain sight once the mask is off and the uniform is off? This is the work influenced by a great deceiver, the greatest of all deceivers. The people do not know who they can turn to. They indeed are caught in a trap. In Psalm 5, verses 8 through 9, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies make straight of your ways before me. Not a word from their mouths can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Who are these troops in the Ukraine? No rank marks in their uniforms. Who are the officers that are directing them? Who's their commander? The unmarked, now flagged, non-flagged uniforms are very ominous and just downright horrifying. The soldiers even cover their faces, as I said, with masks and bandanas. Now they occupy airports, shipping docks. They blockaded roads. They've taken over the Ukraine military installations, surrounded them. And some of them they've actually taken by force. With no markings of whom authority they are under. They are unidentifiable, thus unaccountable. Clearly marked uniforms do mean and stand for something. Imagine this. Imagine high school, college, and pro football. Imagine games where everybody's uniform was the same, with no numbers. Imagine basketball games with no numbers, but every uniform is the same. How confusing would that be? First of all, the crowd wouldn't know who's who. In football, it'd really be hard because they're all wearing helmets and all wearing the same looking uniform. Who could the referee say? They don't know if that guy's an eligible receiver, or they don't know what position that guy's supposed to play. What would we have? It's just insane, isn't it? The U.S. military uniforms that I wore had the insignias sewn on. On that name was my branch of service, my rank, and of course, the American flag. By the Geneva Convention, an unmarked uniform is considered unlawful and can be considered punishable by international law. In some cases, they can be charged as being a spy. As I pointed out, my uniforms were sewn on, and today's uniform fatigues are Velcroed. I'm going to show a little demonstration of that if I can. First of all, thank you, Drew, for helping me out. Let's take a look at a uniform that Drew now has. And as you can see here, in Drew's uniform, I know you can't see it on the computer, but You can listen. I'll try to describe it to you. This is a BDU uniform, battle dress uniform, and it has Velcro, right? So things can be removed. Name could be changed. He could take someone else's name and put it on there if he wanted to. He could take another flag and put it on there if he wanted to. He could put whatever he wanted here. UPS driver. Whatever. He could put that on the uniform, correct?
Yeah.
Now, looking at that, and Drew, let me hand this back to you. Okay. Thank you, Drew. Looking back at that, now, this was a flight jacket that we used in the military that I had that we used when we were around the aircraft. Now, I've modified this one, of course. I put the Velcro on it so I could put some things on here. So I could put my canine patch and the veteran's patch and the flag. But guess what? They all can still be removed. Now, as I show you a more recent uniform that I wore, and this is a Civil Air Patrol uniform that I wore, Air Force Auxiliary, but I want you to notice something. In this uniform, I can't pull that off. I can't pull that nameplate off. That's me. And as long as whoever wears that shirt, they're going to think that's him, me. I can't pull off who I belong to here. Civil Air Patrol here, or if it's Air Force, this is my rank. I can't pull that off. That's the one that shows my rank, that in this case as a captain, I have responsibilities. If there's a group of people out here and they all don't have this insignia and they have just little stripes, guess who's in charge? Guess who's responsible for their actions? And, of course, I've got the American flag. That can't be pulled off. That always is going to stay on this uniform. Now, as I said, in other uniforms or other jackets I may have, my patches are sewn on. And this one is a gift that my wife gave me and surprised me a long time ago. I was at a reunion, and these jackets, a Vietnam dog handler's jacket, was something that they were that the association was selling online. I had no idea that she was going to get me one, and it had it delivered to me at the reunion in Melbourne when we had the Vietnam Veterans Reunion. Man, was I happy. Just this little jacket. I was just busting out. But on this jacket also, it's sewed on. It's there to stay. Now, with the Velcro situation that we talked about before in the earlier uniform that we had with Drew, that uniform can be worn by a lot of different people. It can be worn by DEA, FBI, FEMA, Border Patrol, EPA, IRS, U.S. Marshals, Homeland Security, Park Services, Secret Service, and all just by changing the Velcro patch. Cannot armies be the same way? Well, we're losing. Let me take this flag off. I'm with you guys now. Yeah, I'm with you guys now. The important thing about these uniforms being marked and being sewn on is that it shows who the controlling authority is. If there's no marks and it's not marked, of course, that's hiding that controlled authority. That's hiding who's in charge. That's hiding who is responsible. Now, police and fire departments have a differently marked uniform. We know that also doctors and nurses have different uniforms that they wear. Heck, even the UPS driver has a different uniform. We can tell who they are. We know that if there's a flame or a fire, we're going to call a fireman. We know that if we're in pain, we're going to call a nurse. And we also know that if somebody is lost, our kid's lost, we're going to call the police. We know what uniform to go to. We're not going to go to the UPS guy. Sorry for all those that may work for UPS. How do you know who to go to when our spirit is lost those that are out there whose spirit is lost, how do they know who to go to? We as Christians and Christian leaders can no longer hide in the unmarked uniform. The officers and sergeants in command positions are identified by their uniform. Should not a Christian leader or a Christian believer? Not in vanity to be in a marked uniform. Not like the Pharisees who has paraded through the crowds and people stepped back away from them. No, not like that. Not to wear a uniform so everybody can see and back away. No. But like Jesus did. They came to him. He drew them to them. Not pushed them away. He drew them to them. As we walk through our daily life in these times, we should be sure that shouldn't we be seen as inviting? Shouldn't we be seeing that those who in need could talk to us, could come up to us with a reasonable hope that we're not going to turn them away, that we're there to help? You see, they should be able to see right away that this is an approachable soldier of God. They don't need not to fear us. I've worn different uniforms, but the last is the greatest uniform of all. The Lord showed me to boldly go into this world in His uniform. He showed because it shows whose authority I belong to and whose authority I serve. Not just to rise and walk, but to walk so others can rise. This uniform doesn't have Velcro on the outside. It's got Velcro on the inside. You see, I will adhere to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And where He has saved me, He has sowed His love in my heart. It's sewed on, just like these stitches here. Mm-hmm. It's sewed on. The Lord showed me to step out in His uniform so others can come to the grace of Him. With humble gratitude, I will march. Praise God. Psalm 7, 9 through 17. If you'd like to turn there. Psalm 7, and I'm going to read verse 9 from 9 to 17. O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked, and make the righteous secure. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, and a judge who expresses His wrath every day. If He does not relent, He will sharpen His sword. He will bend and string His bow. He has prepared His deadly weapons. He makes ready His flaming arrows. He who is pregnant with evil and convinces and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he had made. The trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. As we walk through this on a daily life, we should be seen as inviting to those who need to find Jesus. As I said, we need to be not a lighthouse, but a searchlight. You see, even the Coast Guard knows that a lighthouse is a warning. It cannot go out and look for those who are lost. For those who are listening, we have our dear brother with us, Josh, who's a member of the United States Coast Guard, and we're glad to have him back here with us, visiting us. See, the lighthouse is a beacon, but it cannot move from its location. But a searchlight can be carried out to those who are lost. It can be shown and shine into the world and rescue those where they are lost. Just blending in to the people and being just a face in the crowd will not help or lead to find those who need to be found. To be rescued, you must see the searchers. In Psalm 31, verse 2 through 5, Psalm 31, verses 2 through 5. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from that trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, God of truth. I'm saying that all of us here can do this. We need to see and be seen. We need to search and find and rescue. There are people out there that do not know who you are or who you serve. They know they feel lost, helpless, and alone. Let's show them that they can approach us. This searchlight that we have and we're using is not to hunt them down to punish. No, no. It's to save, rescue, amen, and love. In Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Again, that's Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints and the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness, and sin. That's Colossians 1, verse 12 through 14. Here's a chance to stand up. A call to serve every day where you go. Your uniform may be the Great Hope Christian Fellowship shirt, like Linda's wearing. That could be your uniform. Your uniform could be a hat that says, I know Jesus saves. Or it could be a button that just says, Jesus lives. Or it could be a shirt that shows you are leading the rescue efforts. Come and ask, and I will serve you. You see, the time is now to show the way, not just to fade away. The world is coming into an unseen force that stands for darkness, unmarked uniforms, and those who hide and who they are. I prayed Monday and Tuesday. I had an idea, and I worked all day Monday on this sermon. It took long because I wanted to be able to relate to what's going on in this world now, what we're seeing happening now, and the horrific things that are happening of unmarked soldiers invading a country. We have unmarked soldiers here in our country that are invading us. They're insidious. They're going to keep going. They're going to keep denying Jesus. They're going to keep working for the adversary. How do we stand against them? Well, we've got to organize ourselves that we know the only thing that we can do, really, is to rely on the Lord, to let the Lord be the one that's going to do that battle. But what we can do is to stand and try to save and try to inform and try to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and those that are out there. There's got to be ways that we can do this. Now, with a lot of with a lot of praying. You know, as I showed you the different uniforms that I wear, that I have worn, these are in the past. Some of them I still wear when I'm around that situation with my vet friends or whatever. I really had to look to my heart and say, what can I do? Big cross on my front, like the knights, like the, you know, Knights Templar. Should I get a big white horse and ride around on it? Now, in some cases, we see pastors that, you know, have the $1,000 suits and walk around, and you know, with the incredible rings and the incredible shoes and the and all the trappings of a Pharisee, but in Brooks Brother clothes, or Neiman Marcus jewelry. I looked and I said, "How can I? I need to wear a uniform." Ted, you've always worn a uniform that stood for something. Does it have an American flag on it? No. My new uniform doesn't. Does it have my name on it? No. It doesn't. Does it clearly state that whose side I'm on? Yeah, it does. It's simple. It's not that expensive. And for some, I know that I'm going to have to put it in use. And probably soon. I'm the chaplain also for the Vietnam Veterans Suncoast Last Patrol. I'm also going to help out as being chaplain of the Vietnam Veterans of America here in Tampa. And also we have something where somebody would have to serve that I have to be able to minister and help down in Fort Myers. Just a year ago, this month, the couple that I'm going to pray for were at our reunion. And Steve was a Vietnam veteran that was a truck driver. He drove those big deuce and a half trucks. But the trucks that he drove were kind of different. They had twin 50 caliber machine guns mounted on the back of that truck. And those of you that have seen them have seen that 50 caliber is an awesome weapon. Double that, it's a doubly awesome weapon. Mount that on a big deuce and a half truck and go just about anywhere. Now you've got something mobile, you got something that's with a lot of firepower. Steve was diagnosed 3 weeks ago with lung cancer and brain cancer. Non-operable. The doctors are giving Steve about 3 months. I went down there to see Steve on Wednesday. And after I did my sermon, I went down there to see Steve and to pray with him, just to pray with him. And the problem with the situation with the brain cancer is that he's starting to lose some of the cognitive abilities. He can talk, he'll talk to you, and then he'll stop and just freeze and just forget what he was saying. Sometimes he's not able to recognize people. When I came into the room, I knew the Spirit of the Lord was with me. The Spirit of the Lord sent me down there. Because when I walked into the room, there was three other vets there, other friends of mine that were going to meet. And a couple more came in a little bit later. And Steve's good friend, Arnie, asked Steve, "Do you know who that is?" And he looked, "Do you know who that is?" "No, I don't know." "Do you know who that is?" He pointed at me and says, "That's Ted Marshall. I know him." And he pointed to the other guys, and he couldn't recognize anybody. But by the grace of God, he recognized me. And I was able to talk to him. I was able to pray with him. And he heard me. And he heard and he understood. And as we left, he started to talk again to the other folks around there, and he started right back in that situation where he's starting to freeze up again, like our computers do. The sad thing about this is that his time may be 3 months, it may be 4 months, it may be 6 months, it may be a year. But we do know that the situation happening, how long is he cognitively going to be with us? How long can he understand? I talked about this with Mark yesterday. How can I know that he's saved? How can I make sure? I know he's Catholic. I know his friends have brought him a rosary. I know that. But the unique thing about that we were there, the friend of mine that came with me, that met me there from Cape Coral, his name is Barry Gillette. Barry's a rabbi. He's Jewish. His wife teaches at a Catholic church, and she's Catholic. So we love each other as brothers. And Barry and I holding hands here and praying. We can, with unity of prayer. I don't expect a miracle, but because I know a miracle's already been done. If he believes, which I truly, truly pray that he does, the miracle will be that he will be with the Lord and he will be with no pain at all. That in itself is a miracle. That in itself is something that, my gosh, there's no other greater thing that could be done. Praise God. And I just lift Stevie up. You see, the true believers have been transferred from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom, from guilt to forgiveness, and from the power of Satan to the power of God. We have been rescued from a darkening world to serve the righteous King of Kings. Amen. Is it clear to the world that you're a Christian? A Christ follower? Do you look so much like the world that no one knows where your allegiance lies? Is Jesus Christ your commander? Is it evident to others that Jesus is the one you serve? Yeah, I prayed. How could I walk out to wherever I needed to go and make it clear who I stand with? And it came to me. It's simple. It's something that's been recognized for a long, long time. And it's non-denominational. Not one denomination holds it. Can I show you my new uniform? I want to proclaim to the Lord that who I am, where I'm going. It's simple. It's not a suit that's worth $1,000. It cost me $35. But when I go to work for the Lord, I need to wear his uniform. When I'm out there ministering at a gravesite, I want them to know that this person is there and whose authority he is under. I'm not an unmarked uniform. We were rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Now we are the light of the world and will wear garments of righteousness. Do not hide or hold back. Be a searchlight. When people see you, what do they see? Wherever you go, do they see a light shine? Do they see God's works and the Holy Spirit of God? Pray to hear and to do what Jesus commands. Let the light shine forth in the glory of your Father who is in heaven. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. A city is set on a lamp and cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I pray for all of us. I pray for all of us right now. Wherever you are, if you're listening to us on the internet, if you're sitting here in our church and listening to this, I pray for all of us to have that stirring in our heart to know that we've got to turn that searchlight on. Time is getting short. And as if my friend Steve, I don't know how short his time is. He may be gone long before his heart stops. Let's pray that we can go with our hearts as long as we can. That heart of love that's in us, that heart of dedication, that heart of we want to rescue, we want to serve our Lord. Let's pray that our heart, each beat, is a beat for him. Because each beat that we get is by the grace of him. He's the one that gives us breath. He's the one that gives us love. He's the one that gave his son so we all could be saved. He's the one that gives eternal life. What do we need to give? I don't have much to give, but whatever I have, I will give to the Lord. And I know I'm not doing it just to be blessed by him. I'm doing it because, you know what? I owe it to him. I don't just please my Father in heaven because, well, that's the thing I'm supposed to do. The greatest thing that we can have in our life with the Lord, is that love of Jesus Christ, and that when we meet our Maker, when it's time for us to be there, that he says to us, what? Well done, good and faithful son. Good and faithful daughter. Well done. Your heartbeats were beating for me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. God bless all of us. Stir it in your heart. Proclaim. Be bold, as you said. Be bold. Step out there. We don't know where he's going to take us. We don't know where we're going to be stepping to. But knowing this, that wherever we go, as long as the Lord is in us, we're going to be fine. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.